really warm welcome to the teaching ministry of New Life Church Crawley. We're a multicultural, intergenerational church. And we believe in the gospel of Christ. We believe in spreading his love through his word and through his works. We really hope that you enjoy what you hear today. We'd love for you to connect with us via the usual social media outlets, such as Facebook or on our website.
I made a really fatal mistake of trusting one of my helpers, who's our lovely three-year-old Sochi, to hold one of the activities, which was a beautiful badge, and it's obviously gone missing. It's gone walkabouts. So if anyone sees it, let me know. But kids, for the activity pack today, before I tell you all about it, let's do our memory verse together. If we can read it together. So when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 9, verse 36. Thank you. All right, so kids, for the activity packs today, the badge I was talking about has appeared, which is wonderful, but my helper has disappeared. So the first thing you see is this craft. So please cut it out. It's a badge. It's got a pin at the back, but you're not going to find the pin in activity packs. Once you've colored it, so it has something on here to say we're here to serve. So draw a picture of yourself being of service, either to your family, to your friends at school, or even here in the church. And once you've done that, come see me or one of the children's leaders at the back, and we'll give you a pin, okay, to put that on. And then we've got some more activities, which my lovely assistant, Telia, will tell you all about.
So we have like a coloring area where you can color in a sheet on some grass. And then over here, it asks your question, how can you be a shepherd this week? And you can write down examples of how you can.
All right, thank you so much. So kids, really looking forward to seeing all the many ways that you are committing to be a shepherd this week. All right, thank you.
Excellent, thank you. And if you haven't noticed, look for the pink boots on the way through. They are cool. If you have your Bible, we're back starting in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be moving on from there as part of our series. If you're joining us online, then we welcome you this morning. We know many people do from different nations, so God bless you. Thank you for being with us as we look at God's Word. Sometimes the greatest act of care is simply showing up. Don't you think that's true? Yeah. I remember about 20 years ago, Bev and I just hit a difficult patch, and we had a friend who came all the way from Belfast and just spent the weekend with us. He didn't have a magic wand. There wasn't stuff that he could fix overnight. There was stuff we had to go through and process, but he was there for us. And that presence just meant so much to us. Sometimes the greatest act of care is simply showing up. And we know in the Bible that Job's comforters get a really bad press, don't they? And some of their advice was a bit dodgy, even God thought so. But actually, if you look in the earlier chapters, in chapter 2, verse 13... Of Job, what it says they did is they came and they sat with him for a week. They were just with him. They listened to him. They heard a story. They wept with him. They were there for a week, helping him to lament and come to terms with the significant losses. That brings us really to this idea of shepherd. Now, most of us don't have sheep in our back garden. Maybe you do, I don't know, but I would hazard a guess most of us don't. But maybe we do have people in our life who need a little guidance. Maybe there's seasons where they need someone to come alongside them. Maybe they need someone to kind of unpack some of that heart of God for us. And Ephesians 4, as we've been looking at in this series, it's part of God's heartbeat for our purpose. And he gives his gifts, verse 11 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And over the last couple of weeks, we've made a number of points that these are not titles, these are not positions, these are people. These are people who are serving God, and the people are God's gift to the church. You are God's gift to the church. And when you're functioning and when you're serving according to your gifts, it says that we work together, that we grow together, that we love together, that we serve together, that we're maturing together. All of those things he talks about so that the whole body is healthy, growing and full of love. And that's what we want, isn't it? When we're in that place where we know God's heartbeat for our purpose and we're fulfilling that. The word that's used of pastor here literally means the word shepherd. It referred to a person who guided, who cared for and protected people. And so often we have made that a position, we have made that a title, but in the New Testament it's about a function. It's not about the title. It's not about the fact that people have been to Bible college. It's not about the fact that they have an ordination from a particular denomination. All of those things have their value and their place. But so often what we do is we then contain God in that box. Because we say, well, I've never been to Bible college, so I can't be a pastor. I've never been ordained by anyone. I can't be a pastor. And I want us to lift the lid of this and let God out of the box that we've put him in and begin to see that some of those gifts are not simply for a Sunday morning, not simply with someone wearing a dog collar, but they're actually for all of the church. And some of you I know have these gifts. The gift of shepherding is God's strength to nurture, care for, and guide people. And in the context of church, that's towards ongoing spiritual maturity and the likeness of Christ. But actually, this can be applied through all of your life. If you take out the last bit, the gift of shepherding is God's strength to nurture, care for, and guide people. I guarantee that there's people here who do that in your work environment. I guarantee there's people, and you do that every day of the week because that's your gifting, but you may never go to Bible college, you may never be a pastor in a church, but you have the gift of shepherding. And I want you to open your eyes and begin to see how God may have gifted you. So people with this gift in the church environment, this is what they'll do. They'll take responsibility to nurture a person, and that will be in their walk with God. But actually, some of you take responsibility and nurture people. I know because I know some of what Amelia does in work. She does all the newbies that are coming from different countries, and they're completely shocked that they're now in England and they see this big orange thing, but it's freezing cold. And so she onboards all the newbies and she looks after them and tries to care for them and shepherd them. And all the stupid questions that they have, guess who they go to? Even when they should be moving on to their managers, guess who they come to? Come back to Amelia. Because of that shepherding and that nurturing. And some of you will do that naturally. Take responsibility. Provide guidance and oversight, sometimes to an individual, sometimes to a group of people. Some of you who have young children, whether you like it or not, you are shepherding them. You're their primary caregiver. You're the one who's nurturing them and guiding them. In the context of the church, that may be a group of people as well. Model with your life what it means to be whole or mature. Again, in the context of church, that means a fully devoted follower of Jesus. But in the work environment, it may be making mature decisions. It may be taking responsibility. You may be the person that comes alongside and helps a person grow in their life to be more whole, to be more mature. You're the sort of person who will establish trust and confidence through long-term relationships. You may be the sort of person who just likes to nurture and gather. And often, in my experience, the gift of shepherding often goes with the gift of hospitality. And most usually with the gift of mercy as well. So you see, it's not just one thing that God used you in. There's a number of characteristics that you will want to be doing leading and protecting those within your span of care. If you're a shepherd, you will have that protective approach. You will have those, you have those moments of people where you just really feel that compassion, where you really feel that sympathy or empathy towards them. So you'll be a person who's influencing, who's nurturing, who's guiding, who's discipling, who's protective, who's supportive, who's relational. So if those are some of the key words that describe you, then maybe you have the gift of shepherding. As I've said, it's not a title, it's not a position, but maybe you need to recognize that God has called you to pastor individuals or groups of people. You're usually responsible for teaching, guiding, encouraging, and when necessary, correcting people. Because that's a part of being a shepherd as well. There is a rod and a staff. Do you know what they're used for? To keep sheep in line. Because sheep are basically helpless. Sheep are basically stupid. They're not the smartest of animals. They naturally get in trouble. So the rod is there to pull them out when they get in trouble, and the staff is there when they need a little bit of direction. So that is part of shepherding as well. Shepherds may lead small groups, you may mentor individuals, or you may provide wise counsel in difficult circumstances and situations. Why is this so important? Why is it such an important gift? Because it's so easy to get discouraged, isn't it? Just with life, just this negativity that keeps coming towards us. I love this quote from a writer called George Adams. It says, "Encouragement is oxygen to the soul." It's true, isn't it? If you have people in your life who encourage you, if you have people in your life who will speak well into your life, who even when they are kind of the best shepherds, when they're rebuking you, you don't even know it. You ever notice that? It's like, did they just tell me off? I think they did. But you receive it in a way because you know their heart is for you. I'm going to invite someone who has the gift of shepherding. I know her very well. And she's going to come. For those of you who are online, at this point we're going to audio only. And there'll be a picture. We'll be coming back up later and we'll continue with this. But for now, Bev's going to come and share a little bit of her experience and her knowledge of the gift of shepherding. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Dave, for inviting me to preach. It's such an important question Dave's just asked, isn't it? Why is a shepherd's heart important? And when I think back to when Dave first introduced me to the concept of discovering your gifts, I thought, this is going to be really hard. I didn't have confidence when we were in early ministry. I was, you know, lacking self-worth, and I was away from home, so my confidence was quite knocked. But all I can say is that when I discovered my spiritual gifts, as we call them, it was a huge light bulb for me. And I thought, well, this is just like a hand fitting in a glove. This is just what I do. It's natural. But what I didn't understand was the biblical context of it. So we're going to take a little bit of a walk through the Old Testament and the New Testament just to cover the biblical basis for the shepherd's heart. Psalm 23, verse 1. David said of God, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I find that so striking, that statement, because David, he places himself in the trust of God. He's declaring God as his shepherd. He surrenders to God as a shepherd for him. That for me really is challenging, because I'm so independent, really independent, and I have to really work at becoming dependent on God. Even Jesus modeled that. He said he didn't do anything without talking and listening to the Father and doing what the Father said. So I recognize I'm so independent, and I was really struck by David's word, "The Lord is my shepherd," and that's really challenging me while preparing this message. I need to surrender to God as my shepherd. And so through that verse, It's really highlighting God as compassionate, guiding, protective, all of those things that Dave's already mentioned. And as we see through Scripture as well, as we read further on, it talks about that relationship between God and us. He is protective to us. And it also outlines what the responsibilities of us as shepherds are in the church. And then Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." I find these words so powerful. And the image on the screen is really powerful, isn't it? It's tending, gathering, carrying, gently leading those that have young. So powerful. That's what God's heart is for you. In the New Testament, Jesus demonstrates a shepherd's heart. Matthew 9, verse 36. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." That's the memory verse for this week. And John 10, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said of himself, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is Jesus' mission. It's his character. It's just in his DNA to be a shepherd to us. He doesn't abandon us. He promises his presence to us. In the New Testament, the writers promised that Jesus was present for us. And the Apostle Paul Apostle Peter outlines our responsibility as shepherds in a fellowship. In 1 Peter 5, 2, he calls the shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. So it's again that gentle leading and guiding, but willingly. We have to be willing to do it, and as God would have you to do it. And this emphasizes the heart of a shepherd that we might carry as one of our spiritual gifts, one of being willing, one of being humility and caring for the spiritual well-being of all of the people in our community. So in summary, the shepherd's heart is revealing God's nature, but also taking the responsibility for what he's placing in us and that responsibility for other people. So what does this look like in my life as someone who has been gifted with a shepherd's heart? And what does it mean for me and for the will of God in my life? Ephesians 2, verse 10, talks about God creating us to do God good works for him. And so he has designed me this way. That's why I feel like it's like a hand in a glove. He's given me permission to be this way. I don't have to drum it up. It's just natural to me. And so that means I can be free to serve him according to how he's designed me, according to the shape that he has made me. That's how I can serve him. And that brings freedom. Like many of you on the journey of discovering your gifts, It is hard, but there were also aspects that I didn't like. But that taught me that this doesn't change the fact that God created me that way. And it doesn't change the fact that he created me for his divine purposes. So it's just about learning how to work to your strengths in your gifting. And then Colossians 3:23 talks about doing your work willingly for the Lord. And sometimes we have these goals in our day, don't we? We want to achieve this, we want to achieve that, but other people get in the way all of the time. All of the time other people get in the way, don't they? So what I kind of try to tune in to doing is being the best shepherd that I can be, because that is how I can fulfill his purposes. That's how I can stress less if my goal is not reached during that day, and if somebody blocks that goal. So if our goals don't align with God, if they don't align with his will, if they don't align with his word, then we do get frustrated because other people's decisions and behaviors just get in the way. Keep it simple. Be the best you can be and have the best attitude you can have. So this brings me to my motive. It's, you know, having a shepherd's heart is my motive for doing what I do. It's how I am wired. I'm wired for nurturing. I'm wired for guiding people, for getting alongside people. I'm wired for showing empathy. I'm wired for listening, and I'm wired for understanding. And I just want to share a story with you. When I was about 20 years old, me and my best friend, we were just sitting chatting. And I was listening, as I do. And she just said, "Beverly, you're really good at listening." And I just, you know, brushed it off, thinking it's okay. You know, I listen. That's what I do. But then over the years, I've developed that gift and gone into training in counselling. I've done crisis pregnancy counselling, general type of counselling, and now I work in children's social care. But what you've got to realise is God can actually add to your skills, to your knowledge. You know, even though it's something that is he's given you that fits like a hand in a glove, it's something that you can develop and play to strengths. So Bethany, we're on the slide that's ministry now. At least I think there should be one with ministry on it. And as many of you know, I work in children's social care, and even when I worked in child protection and safeguarding, it was imperative that I listened. It was imperative that I had empathy for families, because it's very few parents that would not want to be the best parent that they can be. And how that works out in my ministry is that today I work with children with disabilities. They are the most complex children medically, with their health needs, their physical needs, and their severe and profound learning disabilities. And how I tend this flock is by gently leading their parents. So going back to that verse where Jesus, Isaiah 40, verse 11, he gently leads those that have young. These parents have got young children, sometimes they're teenagers, but the extra demand on them is the complexity of their children's conditions, their health, their learning disability. And so they need gentle leading and guiding. It helps me fulfill the ministry of Jesus by acting with compassion. As David said earlier, it's not a title. Although I went with David to Bible college because we were married. I came. I didn't study. I did my own private study, but I didn't launch into the degree that he did. But that still doesn't stop me functioning in my gift as a shepherd. And there are times when there are expectations on me as a minister's wife, or even in my role as a social worker, that they don't marry up with mine. But that doesn't stop me functioning even in that shepherd's heart. And Jesus was exactly the same. The Pharisees had expectations of him. The disciples had expectations of him. He did not let that stop him functioning in a shepherd's way. I'm not a pastor because I studied at Bible college. I'm a pastor because God has gifted me that way. And then the method I use is just my day-to-day work. He's gifted me for that role with children and families. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms. And so I'm gently leading these parents because they are helpless. They are harassed. Parents tell me all the time, we have to fight for every single thing that our child is entitled to. And so just as Matthew 9:36 says, Jesus saw that the people were harassed and helpless. That's what I do in my daily work. In church, my natural domain is not up front. Many of you know that anyway. I prefer small groups and one-to-one settings. And this year and the last 18 months, actually, I've been on quite a new journey, and God has opened up a new outlet for me. And it's been through poetry, and it's been through dealing with my own grief and using poetry as an outlet for that. And I stumbled upon this in work, really. There's a toolkit for social workers for their well-being, and I just delved into it. I found it was really helpful for me. I was writing for my own healing and my own resilience in my work. And it just took me on a writing journey. And today, I'm just so pleased and encouraged that because God has brought me on this writing journey, it's just led to something that's beautiful for me, because it's expressing my own grief for my dad and my family's grief for my dad in the form of a book. It's currently an ebook, but it's just so shocking and surprising that this has now arrived and I wasn't expecting it. So it's called The Edge of Grief. It's poetry, my own poetry. It's only an ebook at the moment. And I'm using this to raise funds for Alzheimer's research, because that's what my dad, he's got both dementia and Alzheimer's. All that to say, God is creative with our gifts. He uses us when we're available, like David in the Psalm 23 was surrendering to God as his shepherd. We can also surrender to God with our gift and be willing to use it and allow him the creativity that he can bring through his Holy Spirit. And what we want to say today is pastoral care really matters here at this church. It's important for our connections with one another through small groups. It's important for being nurtured from the youngest through to the oldest. And it's important that we all feel cared for. And it's my pleasure to announce today that we're appointing a new pastoral care coordinator, and I'd like to invite Julie to come to the front, along with Dave, David Eaton, Ian and Liz, Kerry, Amelia and Keegan. And I'm going to hand over to Kerry.
Yeah, we're really excited that Julie's taken on this role, and so we're just going to pray for her now. So if anybody would like to lay hands on her as you gather around her. If the rest of the church would be good if we can stand up, I think. We really thank God for the giftings that he's given Julie. And so just raise your hands towards Julie and just pray out loud any way that you feel led. And let's really pray that God gives her the strength. Father God, we thank you so much for Julie. We thank you for all the giftings that you've given her. And Lord, we thank you for her willingness to step out of her comfort zone to take on this role for us as a church family. And so, Lord, we pray that you will bless her. We pray that you will encourage her. We pray that you will give her everything she needs to be able to help the church grow in this area. And Lord, we commit ourselves to helping Julie in this role. We commit ourselves to being everything that we need to be to make her role as easy as it can be. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you're going to use her in this way. We thank you for all that you're already doing through her and all that you're going to do. And Lord, we just trust that this is going to be a huge step for us as a church, and we thank you for that. And so we place Julie into your hands. We place our pastoral care into your hands, and we place ourselves into your hands, knowing that you're in control, knowing that you give us everything we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We thought it would be really good to just share what we feel pastoral care is. So as leaders, we've been working on this a lot. We've been thinking about what do we as a church family need for pastoral care. And so we've got this model here that we think sums up what we are as a church family. And so if you have a look, it's like an inverted triangle. And the top one is the most important. Because where pastoral care is concerned, sometimes our inkling is to expect somebody else to be able to do everything for us. And sadly in life, that can't happen. At the end of the day, it's between us and God. And so what we try to do, what we feel our role within the church is to give everybody the tools that they need for their self-care. And so that's why so many of David's and Bev's messages have been around what we need to do, getting closer to God, trusting in God, and renewing our minds. So that self-care is the biggest block. But then community is really, really important as well. We know that we need each other. And so within our church family, we've got our community. You know, the amount of people that message each other and just say, how are you? When you meet up for coffee, all those informal things that we're doing are so, so important, because there are times when life is hard. And sometimes just having that message, as Bev said, somebody listening just makes all that difference. And so the community is really, really important. For example, if your rugby team doesn't win when you think they're going to win, it's really important that people understand and get alongside you. So I just needed to throw that in, because David said that he's come dressed in French colours today because he thinks that will annoy me. But actually, I can just smile because England finished above Ireland. But don't worry, we care and we'll look after you. Sorry, I really had to get that one in. So community is really, really important. And then we've got peers. Because within our church family, we've got a lot of people that actually are really gifted in certain ways. And so I know that there's been a number of times when there's been a specific need. And for example, Bev, with all her knowledge and expertise with social work. If there's something within the church family that Bev will meet up with people and have that coffee and give that advice that people need. And there's lots of you within the church community I know that do that and meet people, and there's that peer getting alongside people and encouraging them. And then there's that pastoral care, because sometimes we go through particular things that we just need someone alongside us. And it could be we've already talked about grief. So I know that Bev and Julie ran the bereavement journey. We did a course on people that had been separated. We, as a church family, often run different courses, and they're specific to help people through certain pastoral issues that they're having. And also home groups, connect groups are so important because they give the teaching that we need. But then at the bottom, sometimes you need to be getting professional help. And so sometimes Julie, in her role, will just be giving you the advice to go to the doctor or to go to this particular organisation. Because sometimes as a church family, it's out of our realm. It's never out of God's realm, but sometimes you just need those experts. And God uses experts as well. God does use doctors. He does use counsellors. And sometimes that's what we will be pointing you to. So we just wanted to show you the model that Julie's going to be working on and what our responsibility in that is. Because pastoral care is not all now down to Julie. The pastoral care is down to all of us. And we've got a responsibility.
Amen. Yes. So just before Dave comes back, who is your flock? On a daily basis, who do you care for? As Dave said already, if you are a mum or a single dad or a grandparent, you might be caring for children. That could be your flock. I know my sons are still my flock. I intercede for them. And if you're a parent, you will be doing the same for yours. But who is your flock? Are you nurturing someone every day? Are you caring and compassionate towards some people every single day? They are the people that are your flock. It's not a rocket science. They are the ones that are on your heart, the ones that you're burdened for. But just remember the goal, to be the best shepherd for them that you can be for that flock. And if you're wanting to explore the gift of shepherding a little bit further, there are some links there. So obviously Dave's got a whole teaching series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. Some links there for discovering what the shepherding gift can teach you in a little bit more detail. And Dave's going to come and just conclude our message today.
So yeah, we are pleased. Julie has been willing. That's been a theme this morning, hasn't it? God wanting us to be willing. And Julie, we're thankful that you're willing to act as a coordinator for that team. And we know God has anointed you to lead the team. And it's not about simply applying a plaster to a wound. Sometimes you don't need a plaster, you need a pastor. And part of that, if you like that one, take it. And sometimes that's in the spiritual area, sometimes that's emotional, sometimes that is physical, sometimes that's psychological. So part of that is, as the model we've given, is you start off with yourself. And if we as church people can't, we get to the end of our skills and abilities, then we may end up referring people, whether that's addiction support, whether that's counseling, whether it's other areas. We're here as part of the package to help you. But really, the New Testament, it's one another. And so we know you'll get alongside Julie as she is seeking to build that new team. We need one another. We depend on one another. So some of you, particularly those of you know you have the shepherding gifting, then I want you to think about, okay, how am I going to be willing to be part of this team? What does this mean for me? And it's going to mean commitment somewhere along the line, because it always does. It's going to be inconvenient at times, because it often is, but are we willing to do it? Church can't always be simply about us receiving. There comes a point where we actually have to be contributors, where we have to be participants, and that's why we want you to get to that place of health. So I know you'll get alongside Julie in serving and being part of the team, if that's your gifting. So there are key action points for next steps. Number one, as we continue in the series, do you know what your personal APES calling is? If you haven't worked it out by now, it's based on the Ephesians 4, the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the shepherding, and the teaching. So next week when John Scott comes, he'll focus on the prophetic and what it means for us to be God's prophetic people. Not just about prophecy, but what it means for us to be God's prophetic people. But if you haven't taken your test, and I can recommend you do that, there's the link on there. The PDF will go on the website after the service, Chris. Yep. So you'll be able to go on that. I think it costs about $10 currently, and you'll get a little bit of a profile for that. So then once you have that profile, we're happy to meet up and talk with you and begin to think, okay, what are my giftings? How can I begin to use them? So the key for many of us, what parts of your role currently match your APES calling, which don't? We want round pegs in round holes. That's how it works. That's the best way to do it. So part of it is looking as, what are my giftings? What am I called to do? And so how do I fit as part of the team? Number three, it may be about identifying an area of weakness. Sorry, that's the kind of link you can do as well. You can do a slide or a scan of that, and that'll take you straight to the website. So the third thing you can do is maybe identify an area of weakness in your own life. And I've found when I've looked at weaknesses in my own life, there have been other people around me who've been able to support me to grow in that, to develop in that, to learn. Now, I personally don't think that we should concentrate on our weaknesses, because I remember from school, I was always very average at maths. I scraped my O level, and that was because I had a Christian teacher. She was praying for me. But in English, I can talk, as you know. So English was fine. And so I've learned over the years that if you think, oh, I'm really weak in this area, I must really work hard, then what happens is you only ever get up to the level of average. And that's a recipe for frustration in your life. Have you noticed that? If you think, oh, I have to work really hard on my weaknesses, and it seems all your energy is focused on your weaknesses. But don't do that. Identify your weaknesses and be aware of how you can grow, but concentrate on your strengths. Concentrate on where you're actually gifted and where you can fulfill God's purpose for you. And then that's how you flourish rather than be frustrated. But it may involve you saying, okay, I'm not good at that, but I am good at this. And that's an important part of the process of identifying your gifts. So even in our house, there'll be things where I take the lead on stuff because I'm better at it, and there'll be other stuff where Bev takes the lead. I think that's just normal. That's natural. So don't fight against the way you're gifted. It's like stroking a cat the wrong way. What's going to happen? It's going to claw you. You don't stroke a cat the wrong way. You stroke it the right way. So when you are using your gifts according to how you're gifted, then it works, but be aware of your weaknesses. And then for the fourth point could be identify who you could approach to learn from and practice what you could put in place weekly or to mature, to do something to mature. We can learn from one another. One of the things I used to do, Bev said she's a great listener. I've known that for a long time. And one of the things that I learned early on in pastoral life, part of the problem is you want to give answers. David, you will have found this too, of course. When people come to you with your problems, no problems. I'll give you some answers. You may not like the answers, but I can give you answers. So what I had to learn to do early on was sometimes I'd have a sheet of A4 paper in front of me that was blank, because I'm ready to listen to what people say, and sometimes helpful take notes. But right in the top right-hand corner, I had the word listen. I had it in a box, because then when I was glancing at my paper or making notes, then I knew I had to listen. Do you know there's an advice monster in all of us? Isn't there? Someone says something, and immediately we're thinking about how we're going to give them a piece of advice. As Bev said, sometimes we just need to listen. Sometimes we just need to be a presence with people. And for those of you who are shepherds, that will naturally come to you, and you will not understand why and how other people don't do it. Because we always see things not as they are, we see things as we are. Have you noticed that? We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. So we have a perspective, we have a focus, we have an emphasis, so things are often shaped in that way. So here's the challenge that we leave with you before the worship team come and conclude our service for us. Are you willing? Be careful before you answer. Be careful. Are you willing to use your gifts? This is week 3 of 5 or 6 that we're doing. So if John comes next Sunday and he prophesies over you and he calls you to a particular area of service, are you going to be willing? Because it's not about the prophecy. Prophecy only gives God's potential. It only gives God's promise. It only gives God's purpose. If you run the other way, guess what? That prophecy will never be fulfilled. It will never come to fruition. So I want you to consider today, are you willing? That's what you have to decide. That's what you have to figure out. Because when we're willing, guess what? It's easy. The old phrase is, where there's a will. No, not there's relatives. Where there's a will, there's a way. And I know in our hearts, if we are willing, God will use us. One of the images I had on my computer is of a person with outstretched hands. And on that outstretched hands, it superimposed the picture of the world, the countries of the world. And over those hands is the phrase, use me. Use me. And I wonder, is that our heart attitude today? I wonder, is that our willingness? I wonder, is that our response to say, God, use me. Whatever way you've gifted me, however you want me to serve, I will willingly serve. It may not be the same as David. It may not be the same as Bev. It may not be the same as Keegan. Whatever, however you have gifted me, I will willingly serve. There's a wonderful verse in the Psalms that I often pray for you. And it says this, may your people be willing in the day of your power. May your people be willing in the day of your power. So that's the challenge I leave with you today. Only you can answer before God. Are you willing? Are you willing? Forget being able. God can do that. That's God's responsibility. Are you willing to do what God asks of you, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's costly, even when that calling will cause you to say, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this. Are you going to be willing to allow God to bring that change, bring that transformation that you might fulfill God's purpose for your life? Let's pray as the team come and lead us again. Father, we thank you for the invitation that you have extended to us today. Through the cross, through communion, through all that we have done together, I pray in the name of Jesus that each of us as individuals would be willing. That we wouldn't keep you at arm's length. That we wouldn't be unwilling to deal with our issues and our problems and our hang-ups and our habits, but we would bring all that we are to you and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. I am willing in the day of your power. Father, may that be the prayer of our hearts and everyone listening today for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you enjoyed the teaching. We'd love to hear from you, so please contact us. All the details can be found on our website. God bless.